Members of the committee are in attendance this afternoon, Representative Schultz, Larson, Calgary, a locker and a boot chair. Thank you. Today we are having a continuation of the Governor's Mansion renovation investigations. And this time it has to do with DOT contracts, certain contracts, some contracts. And in order to background it, because I think it's important to know the background on it, I would like to start off, I note the absence of Mr. Ward and Mr. Miller, and I do expect him here momentarily. Did you have something to say? Much has been written about the procedures used by DOT. I'll call from now on Dot Puff, the Office of the Governor, awarding contract for the mansion renovation project. We've had the ombudsman in it. We've had the an internal audit conducted by the Dot Puff. We've had, and they investigated many parts of it. We've had legislative audit reports. And although these reports stand independently of one another, their findings and recommendation are strikingly similar and point to a condition best characterized as benign neglect in following departmental procedures and statutory requirements in the awarding of contracts for the renovation. These reports have been included as a supplement for your review. One of the major reasons for this report to the committee is to show what happens when procedures are not followed and statutes are violated. Doing so, we will examine the contracts and the consequence of Queen City Industries' participation in the renovation project. We have intentionally chosen what should have been a reasonable, simple contract as our example, only to find it was a highly complicated situation, in my opinion, most needless, just to get a job done. Queen City Industries, oh, before I start, Mr. Miller's in attendance. Queen City Industries of Seattle was chosen as a subcontractor to Coogan Capital Construction to provide the hardwood flooring and ceramic tile work for the mansion. Documents 1 through 7. Now, in letters dated July 21st, 83, two Alaskan firms, Mr. Elmer Gowdy Wood Construction Company of Juneau and Russ's Construction Company of Kenai, were notified of an invitation to bid on the project from Coogan Construction. Again, let me reiterate, this is not an inquisition. This is not casting aspersions on private industry. It's a fact finder that we want to present these facts, and what you will now, you'll hear are absolute facts, backed by documentation. Now, Governor Sheffield was familiar with the quality of work performed by these individuals and had specifically requested that they be considered for the hardwood floor work. The written response to the invitation to bid was to be received by Coogan no later than July 27th, 6 days after that bid went out. Documents 8 and 9. Although we requested a copy of the Queen City invitation to bid, neither Dot Puff nor Coogan could provide us with one. Now on August, if you'll note that the letter was dated July 21st, Juneau. It had to go from here to Kenai and be back down here on the 27th. On August the 12th, Dot Puff offered no objection to Queen City performing the work on the mansion. Document 10. And a notice of award was subsequently sent to Queen City by Coogan Construction on August the 19th. That's document 11. Queen City was to be paid on a cost plus average basis, plus percentage basis. The labor portion of the contract provided for a 7.99% above reimbursable costs for overhead and 11.99% above costs for profit reimbursable. Acceptable reimbursable costs, as stated by Coogan, included labor benefits, labor burden, travel, subsistence, lodging, equipment rental, freight, courier service, and any other direct cost approved by the owner. Attached to the notice of award were an associated general contractor subcontract for tile and wood flooring and a material contract, both with Coogan, document 12 and 13. This subcontract was dated July 20th. My question is, why was the Queen City subcontract dated one day before the invitation to bids were sent to the Alaskan businesses? Did the Alaskan firms ever have a fair opportunity to bid on the matching contract, or was this decision to hire Queen City made prior to the issuance of the invitations to bid? We do have in the audience this afternoon Mr. Gowdy, who's here from Woods Construction Company. We have Mr. Wayne Coogan from Coogan Construction Company. We have Mr. Tom Matlick from the Department of Transportation. We also have Mr. Nello Long from Department of Transportation. And they will be giving some testimony or answer some questions for us as we go through. In addition to that, in 5 minutes, we are going to go to Kenai to a Mr. Jim Russell, that's his name. One of the contractors involved with this invitation to bid. He's requested that he say something in along these lines. So regardless of who's talking or what, I would like to interrupt, and if the monitor could get him on and start your call at 1:30, and we'll put him on. And just let me know that he's on, and we'll plug him in. And if we have any questions for him, why, we can ask. The material contract with Queen City was dated July the 29th. Under the terms of this particular contract, Coogan Construction was obligated to pay Queen City $44,808 for materials for hardwood floors and the ceramic tile. We could find no evidence of any supporting documentation, bid documents, either from Dot Puff or Coogan Construction to substantiate the $44,800 figure. In addition, the material contract was unsigned as of May 9th. I have just been handed a copy of it, a copy of the signed material contract, which was a lump sum contract. Now the question being here, if Dot Puff received a copy of this contract along with the notice of award and the sum contract, did they realize it was unsigned, or have they had only received one page one of this two-page contract? The question is again, Coogan Construction received a time and materials contract from Dot Puff for architectural renovation work on the mansion, and yet the material contract, which Coogan issued to Queen City, was a fixed fee contract. In a situation of this kind, wouldn't Dot Puff have a greater responsibility to oversee the execution of this particular contract? The terms of payment in that material were net 30 from receipt of invoice. This $44,808 will eventually play a most important role in this particular discussion, and we'll be returning. I do note that Mr. Russell is on the line at the moment. And I think I'll go to him now so we can get his testimony. Mr. Russell, do you copy?
The only thing I can get is you, and I cannot hear any of the others.
All right. I think that'll be about as necessary as you'll want.
Okay.
But at any rate, this is Mr. Russell. If you'll state your name and your affiliation for the record, please.
Okay.
And then I would like to ask you regarding some questions regarding the invitation to bid, date of contract, etc.
Okay.
And if you wish to give some testimony, you may now, sir.
Okay.
Please go ahead.
My name is James A. Russell, Russ Construction in Kenai. And I was on the Calhoun Construction, wrote me a letter to submit a bid for the governor's mansion. And which I did. And it was on July 21st, 1983. And I had to have this bid back by July 27th, 1983. Under the what they wanted me to bid on was cost plus. They would pay materials, travel, subsistence, labor, and burden as necessary. So I got a written ray and sent them everything that they wanted. And after I completed my part for doing the hardwood floors, 1983, telling me how come I did not receive the bidding, that Queen City Floor Company received the contract. The reason that they stated that I did not, it seems I, my letter here, that I was very well qualified, but I was not for handling, or I wasn't close enough for materials to their office or whatever. Oh, let me see here. I have the paper in front of me. Now, we wish to thank you for your response to our July 21st, 1983 invitation to bid on the hardwood floors, okay? And, oh, yes, and the reason why I didn't get it was availability of wood. And seeing that their firm was in Seattle, Washington, it was easier to deal with Queen City than it was for me. But then again, if that was the case, it would have been easier to deal with somebody from Portland, Oregon, or San Francisco, wherever their office was. So that is a very idle. And I received my wood about two blocks from where Queen City offices in Seattle. So I do not think that it was very kosher the way they performed this.
Mr. Russell, have you had any experience in putting other wood floors in or done any renovation work at all?
Oh, yes. Well, I've been in the business since I've been 16, so I've did the governor's house himself, plus the University of Alaska, plus probably three-fourths of all the gyms on the Kenai Peninsula for refinishing. In fact, at this moment, I'm going to be doing the Homer High School, which consists of about
8,000 some feet. With regards to laying a floor, have you done any floor work down there and those kind of figures of 44,000 or 24,000 or 28,000 or anything of this nature?
Yes, I have. The University of Alaska.
What's the square footage of that?
By the time I got through with it, by the time I did the refinish their handball courts and everything, it was about 16,000 some feet, maybe a little over.
Was this good wood put in, or was this a...
This was a refinish up at the University of... And I did API's gymnasium in Anchorage. Plus, I could give you quite a few of the hardwood floors on the Kenai Peninsula. I did add custom homes in Anchorage.
Okay, thank you, Greg. Do you have any other further statements you wish to make?
It's a crying shame when an Alaska business, since I'm a little business, cannot to get into the bidding from an out-state firm.
Are there any questions from the committee at all?
And that's about the only thing I can say.
Yeah, Representative Cowdery has a question for you.
Yes, Mr. Russell, this is John Cowdery. Did you have any information on why they didn't want to use Alaska firms and chose outside firms?
Availability of materials.
But I understand that, but did they, but everybody from your testimony indicated that everybody that was going to supply the material was going to come from outside the material itself anyway, is that right? It wasn't available local?
This is very true. We don't raise hardwood floors material up here in Alaska. And,
Did they try to make some effort to pacify you or other local contractors that you knew of by hiring just to work by the hour?
Yes, my bidding on the job was Alaska State minimum wage, 5%, my business cost would be 5% above Alaska State minimum wage. On materials, it would have been 10% on materials.
Was there any discussion on or that, to your knowledge, or any reason given that you wasn't qualified to perform the work, or the Alaskans, local people, weren't qualified to perform the work?
The only thing that the letter that sent to me was availability of wood and materials.
Did you have any letter, were you required to buy that wood, or did you have financial ability to buy the wood and
we do this in the contract, or in the, what he wanted me to bid on, is that general contractor may elect to purchase materials in order to expedite delivery.
And you was prepared to do that?
I was prepared for them to buy the wood, and I would perform labor, which would have been my labor, which would be Alaska State's minimum wage, plus 5%.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Ward.
Thank you. Mr. Russell, not to belabor it, but just so that I can understand, the wood that was the wood that's in the mansion now, where did it come from, where you were going to get the wood from anyway?
I would say yes. It probably came from Kelly Goodwin. And that is about a half a block away from Queen City Floor Company in Seattle.
Do you think then that they must have been able to get a lower price for some reason than you, or...
No.
Do you have any? Why would you think that?
Could have bought the material themselves if they elected to do so.
So it's your feeling that, regardless of, as I understand, in order for that wood to be in there, it had to come from basically the same place you were going to get it from.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Locker.
Thank you, Mr. Russell. This is Representative Locker. Did you state previously that you had done the floors in the governor's home in Anchorage?
Yes, I did. In fact, that was on the submittal that I give for the bid.
Okay. Are you aware of a memorandum that was done by Tom Metlicka that went into the file on the governor's mansion?
I am not.
I note here that on the third paragraph, it states clearly that the governor was very interested in having Elmer, or the man from Kenai that had done the floors in his home in Anchorage. I was wondering if you were aware of that.
No, I did not, but I am the man from Kenai.
Okay, apparently, in bypassing you, they ignored the governor's initial request.
I would imagine if they ignored any contractor from Alaska, they ignored the governor's request.
Are there any further questions that we have for Mr. Russell? Mr. Russell, thank you very much for taking the time to get on the telecon down there tonight.
And I thank all of you, and good afternoon. And maybe it's too late now because the horse has already been out of the barn, but maybe something will come of this after all.
Thank you, Mr. Russell.
Thank you very much.
That will conclude our telecon to Kenai.
Is she going to be able to listen?
Oh, yes, unless... are you off now? Did you cut me?
Would you like me to get him back on the
line? Get him back and find out whether or not he wants to continue to listen in. If so, I'll leave the mic open. Okay. We haven't been able to find any evidence of a .puff document authorizing extension of the Coogan contract to include any carpeting. Let me back that up. I think at this time, Mr. Gowdy is asked to say something regarding the very subject that we're on. Mr. Gowdy, would you care to say anything to the committee? If so, you go up there.
This is the man from Douglas.
This is the man from Douglas.
This is the other
And your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Thank you. My name is Elmer Gowdy. My affiliation might be called Interested Citizen or Deposed Contractor. Not a contractor. I was indirectly involved in this thing up to a point. If I might just go ahead and make my comment on relative to the same material that Mr. Russell was talking about. We too, Woods Construction, and I, as their hardwood floor representative, also got an invitation to bid, and that was in July. I don't have a copy of the letter here.
DOT?
July 21st, I think it was.
Would you please push your button up on your mic, please, and talk into that
little flip
right down at the bottom of that thing.
Push it up?
No, that little flip button. See it? He's got to hold it down then.
Oh, you have to hold us down?
Yeah, it's first.
Thought?
Yeah.
Crude, I think you're very crude. Okay, I'm sorry.
All right, if I may, Mr. Russell, we're taking further testimony, so if you'll just listen if you wish. Let us know if you wish to go back off the air. We can cut off our communication to you. Thank you.
At all.
I push it down.
See if he can hear you now, yeah. Can you hear him now?
Hello.
Okay,
yeah, okay. Gotcha.
There we go. When we received this invitation to bid, it did require that we submit a rate, profit, and overhead. And Mr. Woods called me up, Steve Woods, and we went out and looked at this thing, and I said, well, this is a step in the right direction. At least procedurally, we're in line. So I went home, and we didn't discuss it a great deal, but the next day, I called Queen City for Seattle, asking if they planned to be operating in our area, in the Juneau area, sometime this summer. We might have some work, and this is a strenuous thing that kind of went in the back door. I'm not proud of using this method, but I did get the information that I thought I should have. And that was, yes, we have the governor's mansion job. Now, this was about on July 23rd. So, in effect, they had already been assigned this work, or at least they were assured that they would have the contract. So, whatever we did, or whatever response we made, was purely academic. I think that the numbers we used were 7 and 7, 7 for profit and overhead, or 7 for profit, however it worked out. Again, purely academic, because the contract had already been, for all purposes, awarded to Queen City Floor. The numbers on the document, the dates, are irrelevant, because we were out of the picture at that time. As far as the procurement of wood, on July 20th, one night after work, I happened to be there when the 4:30 bell rang. Tom Ethica and Jerry Woods were still there, and we were discussing how this thing worked. My main concern at this point was that in this invitation to bid, this invitation to respond to the solicitation, there was a clause that said per diem and travel would be paid. Would be paid by, didn't say who, it would be paid as soon as by state. So I went over screaming about that. I said, how can we maintain any contractual integrity with the state if they offer out-of-state contractors to come and compete with us or do the same work, whether competing or not, and you get paid for it. You get paid for coming, you get paid for staying here and operate in a manner of that nature. The word was then that Matlock, Charles Matlock, Deputy Commissioner, had issued a memo saying that no transport, and I never saw the memo. This was told, I mean, it was related in our conversation, that there would be no travel or per diem. But then it was discovered that they had paid Lawler Insulation Company, one of their, or two of their, or how many mechanics, I don't know, per diem and travel from Fairbanks, so they'd already screwed up. So as a precedent, they couldn't deny the Seattle outfit the advantage of per diem and travel. That did prove out, I guess. They seemed to have collected a lot of per diem and travel.
Well, they denied me.
I didn't get a formal response. I went, as soon as I heard that Queen City had been hired, I went to see Mr. Coogan in his office. And I braced him with this information and what is happening. I couldn't wait, was his response. I couldn't wait because this was so critically important. Now, this was probably July 24, July 25, and so on. So Mr. Wood and I decided, well, as a matter of form, we should submit. We should respond to this solicitation. So Steve had put together some kind of a bid. I remember the numbers were 7 and 7. Well, again, it was academic. We could just as well have not responded at all because Queen City had the contract. In the matter of wood, in my discussion with Tom Metlica and Jerry Wood on the evening of Friday night of July 20th, they had pretty much decided, and Tom assured me that I had the job. Now, not contractually. I don't think that's what he meant. I think that he meant I would be allowed to work on the job. I would be selected as a mechanic, either to install, to finish, or in some way contribute to the completion of the project. I went home with that idea. I called the people at Kelly Goodwin, and
Who's Kelly Goodwin?
Kelly Goodwin is a wholesale supplier of hardwood flooring. That's all they do is deal in hardwood flooring. They are the firm that Mr. Russ said was half of it. Actually, further than that, it's two or three blocks, but it is the outfit in the same area that Queen City is. They had a supply of everything except quarter sawn oak. They had some quarter sawn, but this particular oak in the governor's mansion is a unique kind of wood. It's Nova Scotia oak. It's a special kind of burr oak that grows, it's probably the most extensively grown oak in the country. It goes way over to North Dakota, south into Tennessee, and New Brunswick, Nova Scotia in the north.
Norway and Sweden, too.
Norway and Sweden. Thank you, Mr. Ross. But in our area...
You're supposed to be listening down there. Okay.
Thank you, Jim. Before the war, 1914, was when this wood was delivered. There's four other buildings in town. I wasn't here then. That was a little before my time, not much. But Queen Anne's Hospital, the original hospital structure, they'd have Nova Scotia oak. The governor's mansion had it. The Gross House, which was built in 1914 up in Gold Belt Avenue, that is Nova Scotia oak. And I saw some more the other day. If you want to satisfy your curiosity, just go into that little coffee shop behind the Nugget Shop for the Simpsons building down on 2nd Street. Nova Scotia oak is near. The Messerschmitt building was also built in 1914.
Is this expensive wood?
Yes, it's a premium grade oak. But the unique characteristics about this thing that comes from Nova Scotia is that the soil condition up there, the quality of the limestone in the ground where it grows is such that the cellular structure of it gives the quarter grain oak a unique characteristic. That type of wood, getting back to it, was not available. Quarter sawn oak was. You could get quarter sawn oak. What I had planned to do, if I had been awarded the contract, was to take the quarter grain, ordinarily in clear select oak, red or white, about, I would say 12 to 20% is quarter sawn. That's just the way it flops through the mill. It's not sawn specially, but in sawing oak, this pithy grain is arrested when the cut is in a certain direction to the heartwood. And this is what makes quarter sawn wood. If it's slabbed off the side, you get merely flat grain wood. But I don't know how I got in this discussion. This is not exactly germane to the thing, except at a later point I'll bring this up. But the wood was available. I had ordered some that night. I said, get me out 600 feet of 5/16 by 2 butt edge flooring. That's the material that would be required to patch the three bedrooms upstairs, and also the main hall on the second floor.
You went and purchased this then?
I was, on Mr. Metlick's recommendation, that was the understanding we had, that I would get this flooring. So you go and tell Wayne that you are procuring this flooring. I'm sure that'll impress him. Well, it didn't impress him a great deal. Fortunately, I didn't get 600 feet because they had 600 feet available, but it was over, the bundles that had come in were over 16 feet long. Cargo of this size can't be accommodated on a passenger aircraft as cargo. That it won't fit in this igloo thing where they stuff all the freight and then load the whole thing aboard the plane. So there was some question there. I did, however, get 600 feet of clear select oak, which I was able to use. I went down to Coogan, and not on Monday, but on Tuesday, and he asked me if I had a contract with Tom Metlick or with anyone else to authorize me to order that wood. I said, no, we don't. Well, again, he had made all the arrangements with Queen City, so my ordering the wood was a bit presumptuous, I'd say, but it was something I could use. We could use the wood in another job we had going. No loss there. The 5/16 by 2, which is the wood they used mostly in the governor's mansion, was delivered because of a cost of $1,400 for air freight, because this long thing wouldn't go in the deal. So that took care of the wood. We didn't get the wood then. And the wood for the recreational floor, which is a different type, they called for 3, 5, and 7, which is a width designation of wood. And they ended up using not 3, 5, and 7. They used 3, 4, and 6. No, 3, 4, and 5. 3, 4, and 5 is a dollar a foot cheaper, or close to a dollar a foot cheaper than 3, 5, and 7. It also called for a pegged oak floor in this area, in this 600 feet. They describe it here as 648, but it was only 600 feet. That wasn't used. There was the 3, 4, and 5 wood was installed, and presumably it was installed, as Mr. Long told me, over a substructure that was installed by Cooper. Wasn't there. I don't know this, but I recall that was the designation of this particular thing. But getting back to the contractual arrangement, Queen City had the contract, and in dealing with Mr. Coogan in a number of cases, first we went through the union operation, and he adamantly required that I should join the union. So finally I did. I investigated joining the union, and it was a ridiculous bag of words. There was no third type thing except the union wanted your money. The carpenters union claimed jurisdiction for laying the floor, for fastening it to the substrate, whatever that might be. The painters then claimed finishing the floor, applying the finish. That was under the realm of the painters union. So to comply with this ridiculous request, one would have to join two unions, $637 for the carpenters and only $380, I think, for the painters. But this, to comply with the requirements, this is what would have to happen. We didn't get that far either, because things kind of broke off. And then when I picked up some information from the project file, I find a letter dated August 5th, Mr. Elmer Gowdy, P.O. Box, reference to Governor's Mansion, Vermont. Dear Elmer, per the request of Queen City Industries, I am asking you go to work for that firm as a floor installer on their payroll. Please reply to earliest convenience. There was no reply on my part because I never received this. I never got a copy of this letter. I'm not saying that Mr. Coogan didn't mail it, but it never came to my attention. It never came through my post office box 125 Douglas, Alaska. At this point, I probably would have been reluctant to say, fine, I'll go to work for Queen City, because all they'd had to do was show up one day with a toolbox and I could be sent home that night. Even if I joined the union notwithstanding, I mean, if they didn't want me, it would be easy to get rid of me. However, I don't like to be around in a situation where I'm not wanted or where my presence is desired or respected.
Mr. Gowdy, if I may interrupt you just a moment, I'm interested in that one thing.
We have a copy of the letter he's talking about.
It was a labor charge for labor approximate on the project, which lasted about 56 days, I believe. And labor charges. Are you familiar with those labor charges at all?
The labor charges, as I saw in the documentation here, were no doubt from the approved Department of Labor schedule. That is, they have a union schedule. According to Davis Bacon, you have to pay that schedule. And the labor burden and the profit and so on go on top of that.
Over 56,000 sound reasonable for four people and a supervisor?
56,000? No, 56,000 is grossly overpriced. I offered to do the whole thing as a sole source contract. All the repair, furnish the wood. The wood, by the way, cost $6,000 is what the wood should have cost. Do the whole thing for $36,400. They wouldn't even listen to me.
That was only the wood?
No, it was the wood, the labor, and the finishing. I mean, insulation, finishing, and repair. $36,400.
No tile.
No what?
No tile.
No.
Just
no,
wood.
No tile, just wood. That's right, just wood. There was no way that they could entertain such a proposition. Mr. Woods, and in the presence of Mr. Metzica, said even paying, now this was on our Friday night, July 20 meeting, they calculated that they could hire this big Seattle firm, pay their transportation and per diem, and get by for less. However, when it came to the actual execution of the contract, The wood now was no problem. There was no problem in procuring the wood. The wood was readily available to anyone that had the money to buy it. As it developed, there was no quarter sawn oak delivered. Most of the new work was the 5/16 by 2 inch, which was readily available. In fact, I had submitted a letter to Mr. Coogan stating those materials that were available for present delivery, for immediate delivery, at a price that was available to all of us. $1.89 a square foot for 5/16 by 2, and clear select 2 1/4 by 25/32 with $1.69. 2, 5, and 7, I think was around $3 as I remember, but 2, 3, and 5 was much less. 2, 3, and 4. No, 3, 4, and 5, beg your pardon. 3, 4, and 5 is what they ultimately used in the recreation room.
I might interrupt you a moment and tell the committee that there has been no substantial evidence of invoices for the wood that was purchased. We can't find any breakdown of how many bundles, what it was, what the lengths, what the size, what the... of nothing. We have no invoices to this extent at all, so we can't tell you even if we'll ship to the site. We have no delivery slips, nothing. We have nothing. DOT has nothing. I think perhaps... Maybe the Cooking Construction has it. We don't have it, that I'm aware of. Now, if you could, go ahead.
Chairman, just wondering, you offered to do on the wood part of it, and the labor, the materials, everything else for $34,000. What did it end up costing the state?
Thank you. The wood, according to this schedule, dated Jan. 2/7. However, there is documentation here. Shows a schedule for room of cost. I mean, it's not an invoice. An invoice, in the realm of doing business, amounts to the unit cost for an item times the number of units that are subsequently delivered, or that you're discussing, you're talking about, negotiating. That constitutes an invoice. There are other type of invoices, of course, but that would...
You'll find a chart in your deal. In your deal, or in your packet that's right here in front of me now. The Queen City room schedule breakdown. They have not broken down, nor can we get invoices, on any of the wood that was shipped. So we have asked, they asked, DOT asked them to submit to them an invoice. They came down with a room schedule breakdown. That room schedule breakdown turned out to be $19,108. The Queen City, that was on 127.83. On 3/19/84, they came down with another one. Peculiarly enough, it amounted to the same total amount. However, they've changed considerably their different room schedules. The DOT breakdown for wood only, that includes 20% for waste, on 5/3 came down with a $12,874 figure. Mr. Gowdy's breakdown plus wood plus related material breaks down to $5,481. So there's a great deal of disparity between, we don't know yet what we paid for. DOT does not know what they paid for either. They just paid lump sum stuff. That's all they did. No invoices, no nothing. I want to be sure to point that out. Now we're talking hardwood flooring, fir flooring, oak flooring, etc. We haven't even gotten to the ceramic tile breakdown on that one. And I might add that in the back, on page 566, you'll find that the labor portion for 55-56 day to Queen City was $56,916. And I believe that was for 4 workers and 1 supervisor, superintendent or something, 5 people. Material portion was $61,925. A total paid to Queen City by some invoices is $118,842. But along with that, I might say they're withholding $22,900 because no invoices can be. And this was after they decided not to pay that kind of money out for what they were paying it on. That's what happened.
I need to follow up on this.
Go ahead.
Okay, on this page 6, when you're looking at that labor portion, materials and so forth, and the amount of money, and it says not paid by Doug Huff, and there's $22,000. What I'm wondering, is this the same thing? Are we talking about the same thing? Is this all the wood hardwood flooring that we're talking about, the total billing of $118,842, is that to Queen City for just the wood, or are there other things in...
Instead of getting into the makeup of the wood. Wood's wood as far as the committee is concerned.
May we deal with just the numbers then?
Yes, please.
On this room finish schedule, Mr. Deboff from DocPuff called me one day and he said, we did get some information from Kelly Good. When I discovered the material had been delivered in town, which was sometime in August, I would say, first part of August, I went down and looked at the material out of curiosity. It was stored in the DOT warehouse down on Willoughby Avenue. And there was some 5/16 by 2 down there. And there was some 3/5 and 3/4 and 5. So immediately I went over to Douglas and braced Mr. Freeman with this information and asked to see the finishing material was there too. There was some glitza and the other material that would be used in finishing. How much the state had been charged for this material. He had no invoice, he had no bill. Which was understandable, it didn't necessarily have to get there on the same boat as the material. But I checked later and later, and we didn't get this room finish schedule thing until about January. When I saw that, I was appalled. Such charges should be made for the material in the amounts delivered for the scope of the sizes.
Give us an example, please.
Well, let's look at room 19, the recreation, the biggest room, the most extensive installation in the thing. Recreation room 19, it shows here, material figure, this is FOB Seattle Dock, $6,107. Now that's for 600 feet of material that cost $245 a foot. And probably the subsequent finishing materials plus sandpaper to sand it. I have projected that into actual cost. 600 feet of $245 come to $1,470. 3 gallons of glitz, which it would take to put the recommended finish, apply the recommended finish on this thing, would be $78. That's for 3 gallons of glitz. That's $26 a gallon. It doesn't cost that much. It actually only costs about $22.39. That's buying it from American Glitz Company. There's two or three outfits you can buy it from in Seattle, but that's where I get it. I am supposed to be the distributor for this area, which means nothing to me, but that's the cost of it. 3 gallons of glitz is $78. Machine rents. Now, when I was negotiating, or we were negotiating, let us say, for this work, all that we were to get paid, all that we would be allowed to be paid, would be $24.18, or whatever the applicable scale was, as printed in the state schedule. that would have been that's a dead point. Forget that. I'm glad you didn't hear that remark. Machine use $124. The reason I was putting that remark in is when you come to work as a skilled person. Working by the hour, union, non-union, it don't make any difference. All you bring is a warm body if you're working for scale. You don't bring tools. You don't bring power. To make them aware of that and to set a schedule, establish a schedule where some recovery could be made for furnishing the power tool, a schedule of $124 a day for, let's say, 3 machines that would take to do that in a day.
Could you make your point, please?
The point is that accounts for the $124 machine use, is that so much for each machine each day, that would come $124. The whole thing is $1,698 should have been the total representative cost for that room. Now that doesn't include the underlay. I mean the substructure that had to be prepared over the concrete floor to accommodate the surface installation.
How
of
much do you think that would cost?
I have no idea, but that was, I think, Mr. Long, if I may quote our telephone conversation, I think you said that was done by who? Was that right, Wayne? Was that done by you people? You don't know. Who should know?
Well, we're not going to...
No, okay.
I don't want you to be questioning anybody.
All right. This is what the material should cost. $1,698. State was charged, and this is just a a contract, material contract, which in cost plus work is not, the reason for cost plus work is to pay from the invoice, so that the invoice is marked up a predetermined or an agreed on a negotiated amount to arrive at what the final figure would be. This figure of $6,107 could not be justified. It could not be substantiated or a representative figure for delivering this much wood.
So you're talking about the difference between 1,600 or 1,700?
And 6,107. 6,107 is what the room schedule was for this room cost was for this particular room. You can go on down the line. Another room where the schedule would be fixed by a new installation was the study on the second floor. That was a complete replacement there. The material they show for that room, $2,980. $2,980 for 300 feet of flooring. You can put your numbers together if you wish. But that flooring cost $1.61 at the point of delivery in Seattle, at the dock, $1.61. For 300 feet. That was
the difference. Instead of 2,000 something, what should it have cost?
Pardon?
What was your estimate? Instead of 22,000 or whatever it was, what was your estimate?
I had, I think I've got it down here.
Well, that was the point you're trying to make.
This is not an estimate, no, this is an actual cost. $567. That's for the wood alone. The other related expenses bring the whole total to $836 for that room. The state was charged $2,980 on one schedule. There's different schedules here that Mr. Long's schedule is a little different. Very, very generous. His was a worst case scenario. $1,425, I think, was the figure Mr. Long put together. Then they have Queen City room schedule breakdown, dated 3/19/84. There, amount was $3,136 on this chart, where the total amount should have only been $836 is all he could justify for that much flooring for that room. Yet we have a charge here, $2,980. Other rooms.
Well, we won't have to go through any more rooms.
No.
Mr.
Okay.
Gowdy.
Can I ask
you
a question, Mr. Gowdy?
Yes.
Is that right, Gowdy?
Yes.
No. Did you Do you think you could have performed the work in the required time or the expedient manner that they had required by the project manager, and you know, with the same quality of work that was demanded from the manager, without any loss?
We could have provided work of a far higher caliber.
Well,
higher.
I mean,
yes, we could have done that.
Yeah. And there's been some statements that he was. Unwilling or something to work on the deadlines set.
No, I have no problem.
Is that true, or was the deadline acceptable to you?
Well, the deadline, if you can call it that, was a farce. Phase one was due out of the building on August 30th, and phase two was scheduled for completion on this ridiculous chart we have here on September 2nd. How could anyone seriously say that they could comply with that deadline?
And you said earlier that you were asked by DOT to submit a bid for the job, but in fact was meaningless.
No, they didn't ask me to.
They never asked you to.
No, I did submit a bid. I said this is what the project should cost.
And do you have a business license and all the criteria to act as subcontractor?
We were working under the Woods Construction Company, which had bonding capacity that we didn't have. The same as Coogan Capital Construction Company teamed up with Coogan for the same reason, to comply with the logistic requirements of contracting.
So if I get the gist of what you're trying to say, that you were offered to work, is that right, by the hour, or were you offered
to? I had gone in and offered to work by the hour, yes.
Yeah. But for some reason, you didn't end up working.
I didn't what?
Did you end up working for them by the hour?
No.
You didn't.
Like I say, I find in the project file, I didn't find, somebody else found it, and gave it to me, this copy of the letter from Coogan, saying that Queen City had requested, and in talking with them, yes, we had made some remark about working for them, and I should join the union, and so on, but now what we were talking about here, the negotiations, this other thing happened in July. Work was started until after Labor Day.
But can I just follow up and stay right to the point? You were offered a job, but the conditions that you were offered under were not acceptable, or that Do you feel that, for instance, a union affiliation or demand that you work, you couldn't perform? Was that your decision that it wasn't worth the effort or the expense of joining the union to do the job? Or
no, I had agreed to do that. I contacted, I was Cubsy Cumsaw, a guy named Leroy. Leroy is a carpenter's representative. He said that he didn't see any conflict with half of the work being covered by the painter's union and the rest of it being covered by the carpenter's union. He said, whichever one gets there first. Well, if one is to invest his treasure in joining a union, at least you should be able to expect to work for the trade that that you're negotiating.
So you're thinking that it was unfair to the local residents to, or that the appearance of the DOT subbed this out to outside firms that who could take the cream off the job and using local people without the ability to make the profit or a potential profit? Is that what you're saying?
At that time, we didn't know anything about this room finish schedule where they would be getting $19,000 for the material. I was still thinking in terms of $6,000 for the material if the Woods Construction Company had been awarded the contract. We didn't know this even existed. I asked Tom Metlico when this material came in. I bugged him for 2 or 3 weeks straight. Did you get an invoice? He says, no. I'm not sure whether they knew that this had already been arranged by Mr. Coogan for the room finish schedule to deliver materials in the quantity needed for this great price, then I would have been terribly disturbed.
They were quite a bit of cost overruns on the job, and it's been my experience that when you're dealing with DOT and there's something that's going to cost more than whatever the contract for, that you have to have a special force account or something that assigned something that effect in order to assure payment, and be it agreed by the project manager or that on the price and the terms of what you did. Is your knowledge, was any of that done on the overruns, the cost overruns?
This could be a contributing factor here, this room finish schedule. As far as the wages go, no, that's pretty well documented.
Yeah.
Mr. Long was monitoring that. They had so many people there, so many hours a day, and you add that by the prearranged schedule set by the state, and add the allowable percentages for profit and overhead, and that's what you supposedly would. I never checked the arithmetic, but I'm sure that part is correct, because this did require a certified payroll.
Sure.
It did require a certified payroll, so that is a matter of record. We, whether or not the people worked fast, worked slow, took too long, we can't comment on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Could you, do you have anything else you wish to say, or do you have a summation on what some of this is?
Well, I could go down through this room schedule, and to put it simply, of course, you have the totals down here. My projection for what the material should cost, and these are actual invoice costs. We don't have any more to comment on that. No, it's monotonous to go down through the room schedule.
Right.
One other thing, I noticed a second payment made to, this is the material drafted by Bill Long from the records. The second payment that was made to Queen City was this $44,808 for material. Then just adding up the figures quickly, we come to $118,000, but then when you put in the $22,000 they're withholding, well, you get a different figure. You get the total for Queen City for the tile and the wood, $141,777, rounded. that's also a surprise. And until we got this material from the project file, we had no idea that Queen City had not paid $44,000. $44,000. Now, another thing I would like to comment on, Senator Moss, the Senator Representative, Mr. Moss, let's call him Pappy. Clyde, that works for him, and I went through the governor's mansion, and we noticed at that time that there was some deterioration in the new flooring. The fir in the conservatory, which is new wood, shrinking. That's accountable to a number of things, mainly low heat or no heat, high humidity. There was no heat in the building, apparently, or where the material was stored, and when it lays and adjusts to the environment in which it has to endure, this is a typical reaction. It's going to get wet. The material shrinks. Then the other day, in looking over some of these charges, we saw $100 for walnut plugs. And the first trip to the mansion, I had not noticed that the floor in the recreation hall was plugged. This is a typical thing. Sometimes this is a cosmetic treatment. Sometimes it is functional. But a plug, if the floor is screwed down, when you deal with flooring more than 5 inches wide, it's pretty difficult to keep it from warping up unless the center of the board is secured mechanically to the framing member. This is usually accomplished with a countersunk screw. The hole the screw sets in is filled with a plug, and it's ground off level and flush with the floor. It's a functional thing and an attractive thing. I hadn't noticed that in the recreation room, but I noticed a Nello's breakdown, and no reflection Nello, my memory is probably worse than yours even. There were no plugs in that floor. The $100 worth of plugs might have been delivered, but they were not installed in the floor. Now, the floor in the recreation room is the one floor that seems to be bearing up quite well. The floor in the master bedroom, and I went up to check on that, so I took a look at the other floors that had been. There's noticeable shrinkage in all the other floors. Not all the other floors. In the floors that received the new wood, the 5/16 by 2, like in the study, they didn't put in heavier wood like they originally planned. They put in 5/16 by 2. Nothing wrong with that. It's a quality wood. It makes a quality floor. But there, too, we have some shrinkage. But in the master bedroom, it was an interesting thing. The new floor that had been installed, and this is a perimeter thing on the plan. You got a plan. You can look at it and see. There's floor around the perimeter of the room, and then in the recess where there is no floor, the carpet is installed there. Originally, that was a very common practice. The pad under the carpet would occupy this recess, and the carpet could lay flat over the top without projecting up, but yet you'd have a pad under it. That was what we usually put in. And now, this characteristic was maintained. The perimeter flooring was refinished, repaired when necessary, and replaced with some replacement in the master bedroom. Now that's easy to see. There's only 57 square feet replaced because the fastening system they used was with a power nail, a number 100 power nailer. And the original, you can tell by the kind of fasteners used. There's two different machines. This was a number 100 power nailer. And originally, they were put down with a Burris machine. Now this was 1914 when this floor was put in, but this machine was already invented and in use, which drives a 3-penny nail. You preset the depth where you want the nail to set, end up to you. This is top nails from the top. The two nails go in the board every 8 inches. Two nails go on each board. And the nail is recessed. It's set, in other words. The holes are filled with putty to the best color you can come to for a compromise, and then it's sanded off. Well, the only shrinkage that shows up is in the 57 feet that Queen City put in. And you can also tell that this is the only floor they put in that room because it's the only one that's fastened with a number 100 power nail. The other floors in the parquet system on the second floor hallway, the pieces are quite small. They're only 8 inches long, set in a perpendicular or a angular configuration. Nothing wrong with that except that they didn't mix. I would have been more careful in mixing the color of the material that you use to plug these nails, except that the nails are driven down, set from the top. The putty material is put in these nails, and that's it.
Mr. Gotti, I'm going to interrupt you a moment. Mr. Ward has something.
Yes, I think I need to summarize in my mind what we're talking about here. Okay, basically, if I can, maybe you can just answer a couple quick questions for me.
Yes.
Have you ever dealt with Queen City Industries before this time?
Yes, I wasn't going to mention that, but I will.
Okay, go ahead, and then I have a follow-up question.
In 1961, they built a new high school here, put a new gymnasium floor in. Queen City been on the floor, I've been on the floor, and now been in Tacoma. All bit. Tacoma was high, Queen City was low. Queen City was $426 low. J.B. Warwick was a general contractor, and up to that time I had done a great deal of work for Warwick in the area. There's all the big buildings in the area I did. And Queen City was lowest in this one, but they had some trouble with them on the last gymnasium floor that they put in. They awarded the contract to me even though I was $426 high.
Why?
Because I had a simple solution to a problem they were confronted with. The gymnasium was 120 feet long, according to three segments. That is, there was three pours of concrete with a construction joint where the reinforcing bar projects from one slab into the next one to tie it together so it's
Did they protest that bidding procedure? Pardon? Did Queen City protest that bidding procedure?
That was not a part of the procedure. I'm building up to why Queen City was not awarded. These joints were high. Right. And Queen City said it would cost $2,000 to repair the joint. And I did them for $360 on a cost plus.
Okay. Can you tell me why you think it was improper do you think there's anything improper with Queen City getting this contract?
Queen City what?
Do you think there's anything improper with the way the flooring was done in a mansion?
Only the way the material's done. Mechanically, the work is fine. There's nothing wrong with the execution of the installation and the work, but the material was handled, it was mishandled, it was subjected to probably excessive moisture. That's about the only thing that caused shrinkage. But no, mechanically, the work was good. Nothing wrong with the work.
And are you satisfied with the bidding procedures that they utilized in the mansion?
The what?
The bidding procedures that were utilized for remodeling the mansion. Are you satisfied with that?
No, I'm not satisfied with them because they had developed a very detailed selection process.
Okay, if I may, then have you, before this time, you put complaints in to the department or to the governor's office about that?
I complained. We even had a meeting with the governor.
Can you tell me about that?
Yes, I'd be happy to tell you about that. I submitted some material. I don't think I did to Representative Miller. I know Senator Ray, and I put together a packet of information that I delivered to the governor. The governor never saw it, I'm sure. He shouldn't have to be bothered with such details. But they arranged a meeting to talk about it. It was 6:45. It was the night before the press release regarding Jerry Wood's contract. We met in the mansion at 5:30. Governor was a little late. We got the recording disturbance. I was looking at the assembled dignitaries, and I thought this is certainly a lot of muscle to discuss such a little problem. Matlock was there, John Scribner was there, several other people I can't remember. The governor was there, and they let me make my spiel so I'd go home. And the main problem at hand was how do we handle this press release about Jerry Wood? That came out in the paper next day, so I figured why the muscle was in attendance. The governor did express at that time that he would like to see me do the work. Well, that's under the water under the bridge. As it developed, he said he would look into it. I didn't know what that meant. Apparently it didn't mean much because we didn't end up with a contract. I'd like to add one more thing about the pre-qualifications and the selection process. Part of the pre-qualification determination was, has anyone done any restoration work of this kind in this area? Fine. 7-8 years ago, we had the opportunity to restore a floor of similar quality, Nova Scotia oak and the old growth house up on Golda. The house had been abandoned during the winter. The fuel had run out. The radiators had frozen. And when the radiators thawed out, water gushed through the house most merrily for a long time. Yet the floors were, in effect, ruined. The insurance adjuster says, write them off. The owner says, can you fix them? And I said, I'll try. I've never fixed anything that bad before, but they came out very well. I offered in one of my correspondences for anyone interested in restoration work to go down and take a look at the roof. I made a thing with it. Now, let's talk about the chambers, the house chamber, the center chamber. They were floored with...
Well, let's go on to carpeting.
Okay.
All right, let's talk. You know the difference between the cost and the carpeting? Were you going to be involved in that whatsoever?
Would I have been involved?
Yes.
I offered to be involved with Coogan, but he said that Queen City could handle everything much better than we could.
Mr. Chairman?
Do you have a question?
Yes, before we get to the carpeting, I just had one simple question by me. I've been sitting here kind of quiet, and would this be a fair summary from what you had to say? In relation to the wood floors, we have already paid, say, $118,000.
No.
There's still approximately... Well, as I take it, Mr. Chairman, we paid a labor portion of $56,000, material portion of $62,000 approximately, for total paid to Queen City of $118,000 with another $22,000 question for a job that should approximately cost $35,000 or $36,000.
If I may correct you on that, Mr. Larson. Number one, this includes all of it. The $44,000 is what we've been talking about for the wood, only the $44,000. When you get into that, it's explained in here, and I would like to get, just to hope that answers your question.
Well, The statement I was referring back to is the statement that you made, sir, that you said the labor costs, the material costs, you would estimate to be approximately $35,000 or $36,000.
Yes.
And the question that I was trying to get to, Mr. Chairman, is what did it actually cost us under this procedure?
$44,000.
Yeah, it's not exactly.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
$44,000 was the entire material for the tile and the wood. Of this $44,000, $19,000 was for the wood.
Right.
Then I didn't do a breakdown, and I imagine someone has.
Yeah, we have the breakdown here.
On Queen City's breakdowns, they call it labor breakdown, there's a W and a T. The W stands for wood, the T for tile. Those figures added. But then there's another interesting thing, if I might make one more comment. We have a change order. We have a change order for $13,000. Some of the items on the change order, the first one, deals with wood. Walnut and oak millwork. Some walnut was used. There was some walnut used in the feature strip on the second floor. Not a big item, certainly not a big item. I'd say that $50 would cover the cost of the walnut. The millwork, only other millwork items of oak would be thresholds, possibly. Some stair treads around the jacuzzi tub in the recreation room. And the rest of these items are change items. I mean, they refer to changes from 1-to-1 tile to 2-to-2 tile, 2-by-2, so on. These are change orders. We're charging for changes to the materials covered in this $44,000 thing. This was to include all the material. Now, that they refer to as a change order on a letter of October 4th from Queen City to Coogan. Lists a number of things there that, in one place, it's very questionable because the wood they eliminated costs three times as much as the tile they put in. Yet that's shown as a charge item on a change order. The wood item was an impregnated wood thing, impregnated under high pressure with an acrylic material. It's marketed under a couple different brand names. But that costs about $5 a foot. The tile they used in lieu of this wood was $1.19 or something like that.
And then if I may, Mr. Chairman, what you're saying is that there's a $5 cost per square foot, and the state paid a $5 cost per square foot, but in reality, we used $1.30?
Yeah, but yet it was shown as a no item.
Did the state get reimbursed? Or
I don't know that
they did. For that other part?
I don't know what they did, but this was included in this, and everything was lumped together at the bottom for $13,107, something like that.
There was no itemization. See, there was no itemization done. It was a lump sum deal. So we don't know, the state doesn't know, or we don't know whether we paid $1 something for it or $20 for it. We have no idea. We just paid it. Mr. Carter?
You alluded to that some of this wood or some of these stair treads or something went around into the insulation of the hot tub or the jacuzzi.
Mm-hmm.
It was my understanding that from the publicity that I read that the governor paid for that himself, and he was in that. Is this mixed in with that, or part of the cost of that installation? Is that what you're...
My understanding was the governor paid for the tub only.
But not for installing
it? I don't know. No, you might ask Mr. Coogan. You would be more informed of that than I.
Yeah, it was my understanding that he paid for the installation and all of the things.
I don't know that he did.
Okay, I'll get back to that.
Well, I would appreciate, I do appreciate you giving us the information you have. I know it's rather short. But if you have any summation that you would like to make at this point before I get to, we still have some other people we have to go on.
Let me take a quick note here. I had jotted down some things, but I have touched on most of the pertinent items that we had. And there's so much information in the Ombudsman's report. And
you may call this the conclusion, if you will, and then I'd like to have you stand by for some questions.
Very good. I'll just, there are no doubt some other comments that I would like to have made, and I'll think of them on the way home.
Well, no, I'd like to have you stay here.
Oh, I'll stay. Sure. But if you want me to respond to some questions before, yeah, I'd be happy to.
Good. Thank you. All right. If there's no, if you care to come down here, I'd like to ask someone to come up there and sit because it's easier for them to talk into the mic. Thank you, Mr. Gotti.
Thank you for listening to my tirade.
Thank you.
I appreciate the attention.
You feel better?
The man from Douglas, huh?
We then will go on, and I'll just state that we can find no documentation and no evidence authorizing the extension of the contract of the Coogan contract to include any of the carpet.
We're still on?
But no, I believe we're off now.
Are we still on the air?
No, we're off now.
We're still on.
Well, let's see. Did you get any of that, Jim? And are you still there? And you still want to listen or not?
Over. Yeah, the thing of it is, after I've been listening, I can't even believe my ears. You know, what have I already listened to so far? In reality, I was the cheapest bidder. I was the lowest bidder on the project.
Well, he was an Alaskan, so that excuses him.
Does that mean anything, or
Oh, it means a great deal, but we're going to continue, so you continue to listen, would you please?
Okay. Later on, I didn't know,
I
interrupted you, but maybe later on, do you think I could have a comment?
I presume you can, sir.
Thank you.
And by the way, we do have, it's 25 minutes to 3. For those that wish to leave, there are no other further any meetings, I think, that anybody's got to go to, but I'm going to continue to be sure that everyone is heard here. We're not going to chop it off at 3 o'clock.
That's your count.
Who's next?
Yes.
I'll be excused for just a little bit here, about a quarter till.
Well, whatever. Bill. As I leave that to your discretion, and I'm going to sit here if I have to alone.
Well, I would like to know that. But I got a bill that I got to testify.
All right, fine.
Mr. Chairman, could you indicate just how many people were... Because I had planned on leaving at 3, is Mr. Normal during the time?
Yes, we have Mr. I don't know if you were here when I said it, but we have Mr. Matlica here from DOT. We've got Mr. Coogan here. We've got Mr. Nello Long here from DOT. And we do have some questions. I've got to answer. Said, can you hold your client? Now, I would like to ask a question. Mr. Matlack, I'm going to... God, I've never been able to say that right.
It's easy.
I'm going to call you Tom, and we'll get it from Marion. Would you come up, please? I'd like that. This is Mr. Tom Matlack from DOT.
Matlack.
What is your position, please, with DOT?
I'm design manager for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
Okay. While I'm talking, I wonder if the monitor will unplug that mic and take anybody else's mic we can get a hold of.
There's it may not be.
You've got the switch on.
Yeah, step ahead of you.
So just leave it up.
You just push the button down then, Lottie?
No, just push it up.
Okay.
Did DOT participate in the selection of the Queen City Industries as the subcontractor? And if so, did DOT or did you have any direction or oversight into the contract with Queen City? What was your relationship, DOT's relationship, with the DOT, with Queen City?
Yeah, I think the first thing that maybe should be mentioned here is that, as policy, the Department of Transportation does not get involved with the selection of subcontractors on a contract. We contract with the general contractor, and the selection of subcontractors is entirely up to the general contractor. We do approve the subcontractors when they are selected by the general contractor. And I'm not really sure. It's a matter of policy, and I think that the construction section, Mr. Freeman, which is on vacation right now, could answer the question. And I don't know exactly what they're looking for in this approval of the subcontractor. But normally, we never get involved with the selection of the subcontractor.
Do you actually Brian. Approve him? As a sub, did you say?
They approved the subcontractors as a...
Did you approve the Queen City?
The construction section of DOT for the buildings construction section approved the subcontract.
Or did you just say you had no objection to them?
I think, if I remember right, and I think you have the memo that from Mr. Freeman, it indicates that Queen City is approved as a subcontractor.
Mr. Ward.
Thank you. So then if you say that they normally do not get involved in selecting a subcontractor, would this be a normal situation if DOT was not remotely involved in selection of Queen City? Or were they involved in this case?
Like I say, normally we're never involved. But in this instance, there was a desire on the part of the governor that we either, that he, having experience with Elmer Gowdy and Jim Russell, had requested that, or at least he had suggested that they were qualified to do the work.
we passed that, which I personally passed that information on to Mr. Coogan. And Mr. Coogan then made an attempt to employ either Elmer Gowdy or Jim Russell.
Can you answer, excuse me, I want to ask a question. Can you answer me why? Why that the dates of that invitation to bid or the contract with Queen City was signed one day before the invitation to bid went out to the two contractors in Alaska?
I think, again, I would have to say that normally you will never find any of those documents in our file because it's a matter that would normally be conducted by the general contractor and the subcontractor.
However, you having and approving them and paying them, well, you never did pay Queen City, did you? You paid the...
I think they've been paid for the labor, and they've been paid that $44,808 that we're
right,
talking
but
about.
If you were... If the DOT paid that, I would think that they would have something to say about the procedures of bid, the bid procedures. Do you not overlook that?
I think part of the question in the request from Mr. Coogan there in reference to Queen City's invoices, which we are requesting is the invoicing from Queen City. I don't know, and I can't speak for Mr. Freeman, if there was an understanding that it was a lump sum bid to start with. I don't know if Mr. Freeman may have felt that that was a maximum not to exceed amount, and we would be billed upon invoicing for materials. I think that there may have been a misunderstanding there originally on that.
Mr. Ward.
Since I can understand real clearly, so we proceed on here, Department of Transportation and Public Facilities did not suggest Queen City be utilized as a subcontractor?
Not at all.
Not at all, no. Did you suggest these other two gentlemen?
Yes, we did.
Did you ever consider just putting it out to an ad in the paper, bidding thing?
I think that, first of all, we couldn't do that. We were contracted with Coogan Construction to do the total project. And
okay.
it wouldn't be appropriate to start
pulling
pieces
happened.
Out of it.
It already, that point had already passed.
Exactly.
Okay. Right. When was that point?
I would say with the award of the contract, at this point, I couldn't even remember exactly when the contract with Coogan Construction was.
Is that, you're in charge of capital projects. Do you consider that a normal procedure within your job, that type of procedure?
It's a normal procedure. This job was particular in that it was a pre-qualification of the contractors with a bid of the pre-qualified contractors. This doesn't deal with Queen City. But as a normal procedure for the Department of Transportation, the contract is awarded to a qualified general contractor on a basis of low bid. And I think it's common to anybody in the trade to know that a general contractor will and have negotiated with subcontractors after the bids have been opened. And DOT does not have any involvement with the selection of subcontractors.
Then you and your position, if I may, Mr. Chairman, you and your position right now, if you take the total of what this entire episode has been, you think that the procedures that were followed from the beginning of your involvement in it up to now have been proper? Normal?
I think that they were out, but they were not normal because I feel that I got more involved than I should have at the beginning of the project in trying to work and get Mr. Gowdy to work for Mr. Coogan. I probably should not have even made that attempt, and that would have been the normal procedure, not to have gotten involved.
Where were you getting your pressure from?
I think it was a request that maybe Mr. Wood, who was hired as project manager on the project, in his discussions with the governor, it may have came from there. I can't honestly say at this point where the actual direction may have came. I think that it was that the governor was concerned that the hardwood floor was done properly, and he knew that Elmer and Mr. Russell could both do the works as up to our specifications.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Cotter.
Thank you. I've got a serious question here, and then why were you was the bid awarded? Coogan put out for statewide solicitation, or how many bidders were put up?
We advertised throughout the state, And again, being this was a remodel project on an historical building, we advertised throughout the state, and it was the procedure that was used would be similar to a consultant selection for design work. And what we did is we sent out an expression of interest questionnaire to the to any contractor that requested one. It was filled out by the contractor. A selection committee sat down and rated these questionnaires, and then from these ratings from the committee, the top three contractors' bids were open. The bids were kept in two separate envelopes. The bids were open for the top three rating contractors. The rest of the bids were returned to the contractors unopened.
Mr. Cowdery. I'd like to follow up. You said this solicitation was sent out to bidders who requested them. How would anybody know that was going on? It was advertised for what term or how long? And is it the same normal three times in different national newspapers and things as any other bid?
That's right. It was advertised throughout the state. I don't know exactly the newspapers. I could find out for you. But
I'd like to see how them was. If we don't have them in our file, the normal time for.
I think that it was not the normal method of contracting work. Normally, the state takes a low bid, and I'm in belief that sometimes the lowest bid is not the cheapest bid. And this year, we were concerned that we would, when opening those bids, that the top three contractors were. We were assured that they were qualified to do the work that we wanted to get done.
Could we have a list of the contractors that were contacted and the top three contractors that we're talking about?
That wouldn't be any problem at all.
Yeah, I'd like to. Yeah.
Representative Locke. You have another.
Why was there such a rush to get the project done so quickly?
I don't think I could really answer that question as why there was a rush. All I could say is that when I was directed to accomplish the work that was under this contract, I was handed a schedule that it would be completed by, and I worked to try to complete the project in that schedule.
Why were the contractors who started the job or the revocation project pulled from the job early in November?
Excuse me?
There were some contractors pulled from the job according to our... some of our prior testimony, I believe, and that there were some contractors pulled from the job in early November. I was wondering why they were pulled from the job.
I think that would have been the two main contractors on it, would have been Harbor Plumbing and Coogan Construction. And I think that the cost of the project, we were getting down to the point to where we had a lot of small items, and we were moving furniture back in, and there was a conflict between the maintenance people doing some